Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, a show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. A show that's always interesting, usually funny, and mostly true. I'm Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd, Licensed Fishing Guide, your best friends. Trying to sneak out one more podcast for August for your ears. I hope you value it and appreciate it. I value and appreciate you as a listener. Thank you so much. Today on the podcast, I'm going to keep it simple, keep it sweet, keep it short. We've got Andrew Lewin from Speak Up for the Ocean Blue here bringing us our news today. And then the crappy hippie himself brings us a true crime fishing story from the Trinity River in Seelow. Can't wait to hear what happens with murder on the river. But let's jump right in with the news with Andrew Lewin.
News, news, fish in the news. Everybody loves their fish in the news.
It's time for Fish in the News, and we're joined by Andrew Lewin, an old friend of this show and host of the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. And he's Canadian, and he's our friend. Hey, Andrew.
I love that introduction. He's Canadian, and he's our friend. That's Yay! Right. I am our friend. Love it. It's good to be back. I'm very happy to be here. Psyched.
It might have been a couple of years since you've been on
so.
The show. It's been too long.
Way too long.
But I'm happy to see you. You look beautiful as always.
Well, thank
you. Long blonde hair, giant goatee is remarkable.
Oh, God. I haven't had long blonde hair since I was a kid.
All right. But you still look beautiful. So you brought some news.
I did. I brought two pieces of news. One is fisheries related. Mm-hmm. Actually, international fisheries related.
Oh, good, because I don't like domestic fisheries stories.
How dare you? Yeah, how dare we talk about domestic fisheries?
Yeah, America.
This is about China, though, so that's going to be an interesting
Perfect.
One.
Perfect.
And then the second one that I have is actually kind of a new way to sample if sharks have been present in the water. I'm not sure if we've talked about eDNA before on this show.
ED, that's erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, eDNA.
Oh.
So not just ED. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I thought
it was
like ED, not alcohol.
No.
All right, well, let's jump right in.
All right, let's jump right in. So the first one, both these stories, by the way, are from Mongo Bay News, which I love their website.
Yeah.
Eric Hoffner, I think he's been on the show, right?
He's been on the show a lot. He emails me every week almost recommending stories and people I should have on, and I fail to follow through and get them on, but I do love him. He actually has an art exhibition happening in Vermont starting in October. He takes photos of – excuse me, the COVID's got me – he takes photos of frozen ice holes and wraps them in frames, and they're beautiful.
That's awesome.
And he's got an exhibition coming up in Vermont coming up. I'll put links up at fishnerds.com.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm going to cool. link that to our show beautiful. As well. Well, I'll be honest. This is where I get a lot of my news, at least like two or three times a month. I talk about it on my show.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. And Brett Talbot, who we had on last week,
doing
a shark story, writes for Manga Bay also.
So. Yes. Yes. Well, that's the level of journalism that they have is they have like guys like Brett Talbot on there. And so this is great. So anyway, the story for this one,
just for the record, by the way, I made Brett Talbot talk about serious science and duck poop. So we can have it all here at Fish Nerds.
Actually, Rhett Talbot is how you and I got introduced.
Is that how it happened?
That's how it happened. You talked when you had your co-host on.
Yeah.
You guys talked about a story that came out when Finding Nemo first came out, and it was about clownfish.
We called it Finding Nemo Disappointing.
Yeah. And it was great. And Rhett was on the podcast, I believe. And so I did a podcast about the story, and it ended up being not looking at the real data. So Rhett kind of hit me up, and I was like, well, come on the podcast. And he sent me your show to sort of get background stuff. And that's how you and I kind of got connected. He connected us, and we've been friends ever since. So it's been so Rhett's like the man right now.
He's super biased in favor of the Fish Nerds. He thinks that we're the best thing ever. So
well, you are the best thing ever.
We're the okayest.
I get that.
We're the okayest podcast out there about fish. World's okayest podcast.
Hey, that's a good podcast in my opinion. Yeah, I like that. I listen, so that's all right.
All right.
Okay, so this one is, it's like I said, it's international fisheries. So the one thing that we talk about with fisheries, especially like on the high seas, so anywhere outside the exclusive economic zone of any country, which is 200 nautical miles, we talk about the high seas, and the high seas are being pillaged because there's really no authority. The UN tries to have authority, but we all know that the United Nations doesn't really have much enforcement. And so we've seen things like, you know, with whale wars and stuff like that, we've seen whale hunts that go crazy and take out a bunch of whales on a yearly basis. And that's been a tough time. And other people have had to come in to kind of get in that way. And, but we've also seen like a lot of illegal fisheries happen. Yeah, and there's nothing we can do. Yeah, for sure.
We lost some Patreon supporters because they accused the fish nerds of promoting hatred towards the Japanese culture.
Wow.
Because I said in the show once, I don't care where you're from, stop killing the freaking whales. I don't care if you're Japanese or Native American, fucking stop it.
Yeah.
I don't care about your culture. Culture is a stupid reason to keep doing shit. And yeah. I had people leave the show and stop listening because that they took as promoting hatred towards a culture.
Well, it's every culture. It's everybody around the world. It's really human beings. There should be no human being that gets a whale that's not using the whale.
Yeah, quick PSA. Stop killing the fucking whales.
There you go. Love it. But it's true. I mean, and illegal fisheries happen on the high seas a lot. Right. And it's hard to enforce. And it goes as far as like, it's not even just about the illegal fisheries. You've got fishery slaves that are involved in all this, where they take people from small islands, they bring them on the boats and they never let them leave. If they get sick, they throw them overboard. There's really no enforcement, and organized crime is involved in all this kind of stuff. And a lot of the times when we talk about illegal fisheries, we talk about Chinese vessels. Chinese vessels are sent across the world to try and get a number of different types of fish because the Chinese culture loves their seafood. There's no doubt about that. They love their seafood and they use every part of the fish.
And they use all kinds of fish. Yeah.
All kinds of fish because they fish all over the world. They actually have a distant water fishing fleet that's made up of 2,900 vessels. It's grown 1,000 vessels since 2003. So it's gotten bigger and bigger. There was a recent story out actually that there was a number, there was about 200 and some odd vessels from China flying the Chinese flag that were on the cusp of a protected area in the Galapagos. And they were worried about that. Ecuador is worried about that because they're the ones who manage it. And they were worried that they were just going to take everything. So they were looking at satellite imagery and everything and trying to get rid of them, but they couldn't. Anyway, so this has been a big problem. And believe it or not, China actually has a distant water fishing management regulations. Right now is the first time in 17 years that they actually altered and updated this management regulation. And so some of the things that have come out have been quite fascinating. So some of the things that include is harsher punishment for those caught breaking the rules, a clampdown on vessel monitoring, new port management procedures, stricter certification requirements, and clarification of penalties, responsibilities, and enforcement measures, including IUU fishing activity, which is illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing activity, which happens. That's essentially the illegal stuff that happens along fishing. So now, if a boat gets caught for illegal fishing by Chinese authorities, before they just used to have to pay a fine. The company would have to pay a fine. They'd turn around and they would just go back out.
Well, a fine is a fee for service. So if you could afford the fine, who cares? I move on.
And oftentimes they made more money from selling the fish because it wouldn't get confiscated than they would from paying the fine.
Catch them every time. So the fines are limited. The cash is always there.
Exactly. So now if you get caught, the captain loses his license for 5 years. That's huge. The firm that is managing that boat, the managers will lose whatever license they have for 3 years. They cannot manage in the seafood industry for 3 years. So, and of course, there's going to be bigger fines and they're going to confiscate vessels. So that's a pretty big thing. Right. And then you get, so there's going to be punishment meted out to companies that are blacklisted by international IUU fishing transgressions. Mm-hmm. So now if you're on a blacklist, basically China's going to blacklist you too. So if you're a Chinese vessel on the blacklist, you don't want to go in there. So anything that has to do with those vessels, those blacklisted vessels, so that means insurance companies, creditors, and other fishing industry support businesses, such as processing plants and stuff like that, they will also be on China's blacklist. And they say you don't want to get on China's blacklist because they'll never allow you to come back. So there's just a crazy number of things.
Gone forever.
Gone, basically. You know, it's going to be very hard to get back in. They also have a new management measures for high seas squid fishery bans. So now they'll be banned. You cannot, if you're a Chinese vessel, you cannot fish squid in the Southwest Atlantic from July to September and in the Eastern Pacific from September to November in an effort to get back the overfish stocks that have already been going there. I didn't
realize squid were in trouble.
I did not either until I found this out. It's amazing. I mean, I think a lot of times if you look at high seas, you're looking at a lot of the commercial fishing is just really bad. And essentially what happens too, I should explain that you have a lot of times you'll have this one boat that's basically the holding facility on water. And then you have all these other fishing boats that go out. They all have their own quotas, but what they'll do is they'll go out, they'll come back and they'll offload to that container ship. And then they'll go back out and grab more. Nobody's monitoring for those Chinese. Nobody's monitoring that quota. Now they're going to have Chinese fisheries observers on the actual ships. So now you will get taken to task on that if you go over your quota. With that said, there are some problems with that. You know, there's safety precautions for fisheries observers. We've seen people die because of it. We've seen people threatened, not only in international waters, but in Canada and the U.S. There have been a lot of problems with fisheries observers. So it's not the end all and be all. But well, all these...
I looked into getting a job as an observer back in the 20s. And it pays
me too.
Really well. You go out on a boat for weeks at a time. And then I was reading about it, and the fishermen you're on the boat with hate you.
Yes, because you're a government.
They hate you. They treat you like garbage. It's a stressful job because you're the oversight.
Yep.
And so you are the enemy. You're the single person on a boat of 8 or 10 guys who could kill you.
Yeah, basically throw you overboard. And that's really that's happened.
Really?
That happened to an American in South America. He was putting together a case for a lot of different ships about what they were doing and how egregious all their illegal activity was, and he disappeared, and they just think that he got thrown overboard.
They got back to port. Like, where's Joe? I don't know. Yeah, Joe here.
Yeah, the FBI went down to South Africa. There was a huge investigation for years, and they found all this evidence that he had accrued on his laptop and stuff like that they never destroyed. I guess they never thought he had that. But what he was saying was some of the boats that were coming back. You know, you're not allowed to fish shark a lot in international fisheries. And what they would do is they'd cut the sharks up so it looked like tuna. So they couldn't tell whether it was shark or tuna. There's a fisheries observer. So they would put down, we don't know if this is shark or tuna because we think it's a shark or something like that. So there's a lot of problems with that. But with all of this stuff going on, you know, with the way China is right now, like the total illegal activity is valued up to about $23.5 billion. And I would say 87% of those vessels are usually attributed to China. Wow. So any kind of new regulations that happens, and even if China follows 50% of those or enforces 50% of those, we're going to see a decrease in illegal fishing. So there's good news in that. But we have to be realistic about this thing. It's really hard to enforce anything for any country, you know, on the high seas. It's something that can be very, very difficult. There are a lot of commercial fisheries that are at risk, and we need to do something. But China is pretty much the illegal fishery nation, that they're known as that. And so now we're seeing them kind of come up. They want to be a part of this new bill. It's called the Port State Measures Agreement, PSMA. And so it was created in 2016, and they committed to joining it in 2017, but they have yet to follow through. Now they're thinking that this sort of update in their management practices is their bid, is their them saying, hey, we want to come in on this because this is really important for us to have. And I think that includes like different trades and stuff like that. But
more and more,
the one article in that, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, more and more, we're seeing that China needs to get modern with the way they eat. Even the coronavirus, they didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
The wet market in China obviously is where it came from. I think it was pandas.
Yeah.
eating penguins, which caused it. And that those viruses that could
penguins and bats, I believe, right?
I think so. But I think penguins was where they zeroed it down to.
Yeah.
I've been wrong before, but so, don't be afraid to correct me. But I think we need to, you know, unfortunately, with the world communication, and we can now talk to each other, it's okay to ditch your culture a little bit and say, yeah. If our culture's been wrong for years and years and years, that's not a reason to keep doing stuff the way we do it.
Absolutely.
We don't need to feel guilty about it. Just stop. Yep. Just change. Like
when I think a lot of it comes down to educating the people. Mm-hmm. We did that with, or everybody around the world did that with shark finning. And we've seen a decrease in shark finning. Mm-hmm. It still happens, but we've seen a decrease because the demand has decreased.
Delicious. I've never had it.
No, I've never had it either, but I heard it tastes like nothing. It's the broth that they make, which is usually chicken broth or whatever that might
be. Invariably, if you really dig in on all these like specialty fishes and stuff, it's all about one thing, and that's due to getting boners.
Yeah.
Almost.
It's all class.
If you really dig down into it, it's all about like, is this going to make my wiener work again? You know?
Yeah. A lot of it's like seals the Toto Alba in the swim bladder for the Toto Alba in the Sea of Cortez. That's what it is.
Well, that works though. So I'm from.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You. Medicinal purposes. It helps cure everything.
Year old again. It's great. Yeah.
but I mean, that the one thing that we did see was when they'd started a campaign in China about, and the same thing with Japan with whales, when they started a campaign about that, all these different organizations set up offices there. They had, you know, the people from that country go into schools and stuff. People started to react to it and understood the ramifications that they were having.
Well, I mean, that's the advantage to communicating with those cultures too, and is both those cultures are a very compliant culture. So they have a lot more trust in their government than, say, like an American, for example. So if their government says, hey, maybe we're going to change our way we do things a little bit for the greater good, they're more on board with the concept of the greater good. They don't go like, F you, America, AK-47, pop, 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 pop. They go, oh, okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Greater good. I like helping my neighbor.
Yeah,
I'm fine with
that. Yeah, they do it more for their culture and to keep going on. They definitely have a good understanding about that.
Yeah, so that can see why that would work.
Yeah. So to be honest, that's basically it. I'm encouraged by seeing this kind of stuff. I was really happy when I read this article to see it happen. And like I said, it's not an end all be all, but I think it's something that, you know, we need to keep following and seeing how they do. It's hard to monitor international fisheries, but you can definitely see how many illegal fishing boats are out there, and it's crazy to see. So hopefully these boats will actually be following protocols. It's going to take a while for all that to come in. It all these new changes came in April 1st, 2020.
So they're all new.
They're all fairly new, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, Andrew, I see a problem here.
Uh-oh.
April 1st, 2020. I think there's something bigger going on. I think the Illuminati has gotten together with the New World Order to make new regulations on fishing to cause us all to get microchipped COVID fishes installed in our bodies.
You know, I think we need to make a YouTube video because that'll up our status, our credibility. If we make a YouTube video and talk about this stuff.
I think so. Don't trust the data. Do your own research. I think that should be a new motto.
That should be a new segment. Don't trust the data. Do your own research.
Do your own research. Because your Google skills can outdo any education.
Yeah. So, Google skills are research skills now. Nowadays.
Samesies.
So anyway, that was the article for that one. I loved it. It was really well written. It was Elizabeth Fitt who wrote that. And it was good. It was good. Nice graphics. Everything was good.
I think so. Well, that's fantastic. Here's with one more. We'll do two stories today just from you. That'll be
I love news. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because I was going to talk about how fish poop exposes what eats the destructive crown of thorn starfish. And that's not nearly as interesting.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. About.
So maybe next week I'll bring that topic up. But
you can never go wrong with fish poop, though.
Any story that starts with fish poop is a winner. But, I mean, that story is exactly how you expect.
Yeah.
They found out something was eating it and they examined the fish poop and they figured out which fishes were eating it. It was 36 species. I just like saying fish poop.
That should be the title of this. Is we're not going to talk about fish poop, but we want to put it in the title.
Yeah, exactly. I refuse to talk about fish poop again.
Yeah,
wait till next week when I can't get to help myself.
Yeah. Where I'm going to talk about fish poop.
With the fish nerds, it's either fish sex or fish poop. They're both as exciting.
Love it, love it. Yeah. Well, this next story is close to fish poop.
Fish
there's poop. Probably DNA in fish poop, right? So. Yeah. So essentially, researchers have, I guess recently, probably in the last couple of decades, have sort of embraced the concept and reality of eDNA. Mm-hmm. Essentially, in a body of water, fish and other organisms have, you know, they leave their DNA in the water column, whether it be from decomposed skin, whether it be from any kind of waste, a tooth or anything like that, anything that gets into the water column, will leave a mark, and it's their DNA. And so researchers have actually used this, and this one's about sharks, but I want to talk more about the use of eDNA. Yeah. Researchers have been using this to detect what type and how many different fish are in a water body. Cause it's very difficult when you do sampling, and you're trying to find, like, say you're doing a fish community study. You go in and you sample on a particular day or set of days. When you're in more temperate areas, it's during the summer, spring, summer, maybe if you can get into fall, but you have a shorter time span. When you're in the tropics, it's pretty much all year round. But you're pretty much limited to what you sample that day at that particular time at that particular moment, right? And you try and get the whole point of doing fish community surveys is what's actually there. So let's get a representative sample of what fish species are there. So if it's, you know, you're looking at diversity or abundance or whatever that might be, you want to get that. Mm-hmm. So researchers are starting to use eDNA to find out what is
it. Have you ever done any fish sampling?
I've done lots of fish sampling in lakes and oceans.
Yeah, I've done it in rivers.
Okay, you have rivers as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we did electroshocking. We had to physically touch each fish that was there. And I can see how you can miss about 75% of what's
there. Yeah.
Completely imprecise. And
oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about like...
And dumb in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, if you think about electrofishing, essentially you're putting a conductor into the water. You're lighting it up, kind of, so to speak, and then the fish get temporarily paralyzed because you're only putting on for a little bit, and then you just it's the efficacy or the efficiency of actually grabbing the fish is really up to who's netting the fish and how fast you can net as many fish as possible, right? Exactly. That's essentially what it comes to.
It's all done by like volunteers,
some
who are brand new and some who have been practicing. So.
Yeah. Well, it depends on it also depends on who you're doing it with. Like when we did it with government, you know, these were people who do it every year. They get quite good at it, but still and it depends on the size of the fish too. Cause if you're doing lake electrofishing, like along the coastline, these are some pretty hefty fish. These are some
big brook trout. Yeah.
No, this is like Atlantic salmon and bowfins and stuff like that. So, you know, so it's not precise. Let's just say.
Something, but it's not perfect.
Gives you something. Yeah. And sometimes you can do trawls, like midwater trawls, you can do bottom trawls, but that can be pretty destructive and all that kind of stuff. But what this does is essentially you can find out pretty much what's been in the water within the last maybe couple of weeks, by taking a water sample. So imagine taking a 2-liter water sample of seawater or lake water. You run that through a number of analyses and you can extract the DNA or the eDNA of fish within the water column of what's been there. So people have used it in like New York Harbor to find out the species of fish. They've actually even found like human DNA in it because of the sewage that's coming down. So they're like, well, how did humans get in there kind of thing? But they found, you know, they can tell the amount of diversity that's in there, which kind of gives you an indication of the stability of the system. You know, what I mean by that is when you talk about diversity, you talk about certain functional groups, so certain fish that are herbivores, omnivores, piscivores, and they're just eating different things, but they have their own roles. And if you have a lot of one of those roles, if you have like, say, five species of one of those roles, if one of those species disappear, the other four are still there to hold that functional group and hold that whole diversity. But if there's only one species of that functional role, that goes out and the system could collapse or change mm-hmm. in a variety of ways. So now they're detecting it for now. They're using it for black tip sharks. And they were doing this in this study. This was by Florida International University. So it was around the Florida area, and they were looking at black tip reef sharks or black tip sharks in Terracea Bay, a semi-enclosed bay in West Florida. And so they were trying to figure this out, and they actually were able to discover it. So it actually makes sense. And this is a very harmless way to sample sharks, because normally when you sample sharks, you actually have to get the shark. You got to do a bunch of samples on this. This tells you whether they were present or not, and almost how many different species of sharks that there were. The one thing that you have to figure out is the marker. What's the DNA marker for those fish? And that's a right. big thing. But I want to kind of go beyond this article and talk about something that was part of when I worked for Fisheries and Oceans Canada. What they're starting to use it for is the presence or absence of Asian carp, invasive Asian carp in the Great Lakes. So what they do is every summer they go around and they do a bunch of fish community sampling, but really what they're trying to do is detect, they're trying to basically get and capture as many Asian carp as possible and get them out of the system. Because we're worried that they can be very invasive. The Great Lakes areas, there are a lot of places where they can reproduce it. Basically, other than Lake Superior, they can basically colonize the entire Great Lakes. So they've actually been using eDNA to find presence and or presence or absence of these fish. And then what they'll do is they'll focus their efforts more on these rivers and tributaries to make sure that they catch and have a better chance of grabbing those fish. So it's kind of interesting.
I think the time they can save. You know,
oh, I know.
They can do a 2-liter bottle soda bottle of water and find out, yep. okay, they're here. Now we can focus our energy, or they're not here. Let's go somewhere
yeah.
else. Boy, that's absolutely. Pretty remarkable. And that's just new technology. Like,
it's fairly new. Like I said, probably in the last decade where it's really starting to be used.
Right. In another 20 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be able to do a small vial of water and know everything.
Well, and think about this. Like we talked about this earlier where we said if you do fish sampling, yeah, you can train volunteers to do fish sampling, but you need the electroshocker, you need all the gear and stuff like this. If you want to do a great citizen science project, all you need to do is teach classes, teach people to just take a properly a sample, a 2-liter bottle of water from their tributary and then send it in. And then if the money's there to analyze it, you can analyze it. You have all of these samples that could be across the Great Lakes, that could be across the coast to find out what species are there and how many species are there. Imagine how fast we can find out what kind of fish community is there.
Are you saying that learning is good and data matters?
What I'm saying is imagine this, even from a recreational fisheries perspective. What's the lake that you hate so much in your area? Is it Silver Lake?
Yeah, it is. I love it. I'm on there every day. But I
okay. So if you, but it. You guys all complain about it. See it in the group. Everybody complains about it.
I got
you and Rich and everybody's like,
yeah, suck it, Silver Lake is my
right.
hashtag. Yeah.
So imagine you take the 2-liter samples around that lake and you actually find out what fish species you're missing from there that you haven't caught yet. You know, that's something insane. That could be...
It would drive me bananas because right now, even with the technology I have, I can see the fish I can't catch.
Right, right.
Sonar, I'm like, there's fish here all the time. They won't eat. Now it's going to kill me because now I'm going to have conclusive data that there are a ton of fish there that I just am not capable yeah. or not good enough to catch. So
was it you that posted today on Facebook? It was like your depth sounder that showed like your yeah. fish finder that actually showed a bunch of fish down there that you couldn't yep. catch.
That's exactly right. That's me all the time. That lake, the every other lake I fish is easy. That lake. And by the way, that's the lake I make my money on.
Right.
That
right.
haunts my nightmares. It's my nightmare lake,
but I love
it's
it.
Funny. I don't oversell it. I tell people how yeah. hard it is. And they're like, yeah,
that's the challenge.
Take my money.
Yeah, that's the challenge. They're like, let me go on this. I'll bet you I'll catch something on
yeah,
this.
They won't.
Now you can tell them all. So now you can do the eDNA and you can say, these are all the fish you didn't catch.
Oh.
This is all the fish that have been there and you didn't catch them. You missed them. That's how bad of a fish.
I always say like, hey, yesterday the fishing was great and tomorrow's going to be great too.
I love it. Anyway, I thought that was, you know, like a lot of times when we do like fish stories, it's usually mm-hmm. about story about conservation stuff. This is kind of like a new method that's around that has a lot of applications. You can see, you know, you can have a lot of fun with it, or you can find out a lot of information from it. So I love that kind
but
of
it's also totally about conservation, because the more information you have, the better conservationist you can be. Like, not knowing stuff doesn't make you better at stuff.
No, exactly.
And when you choose not to know it, that's willful ignorance, and that is the worst kind of dumbness you can have. Like, it's okay to be ignorant. We're all ignorant about stuff, but when you choose to not learn, then you're an asshat. That's a science word. I'm gonna use.
That's a science. It's a straight up out of the books, out of the textbooks. I love this because it just makes, like you said, it gives you more information to make better decisions. So if you know a species there that may not have been there before because you can't sample, because maybe a lot of times, fish will be harder to catch with specific gear types. So if you're always using the same gear type, you may not catch a specific fish for it, right? Because they avoid those types of gears. So now with this, they can't avoid it, and you're not harming any fish by doing that.
No, but if you can learn about like how many fish are in the lake, or if that sample can give you a ratio, like 80% of biomass is this one kind of fish. Well, from that you can extrapolate. That's that larger mass is the bait fish. That's where everyone's eating.
Right.
And then you can match, if you're fishing, you can match that bait source with your lure. Or
absolutely,
you might find out you've been fishing wrong for years because you're not matching.
That's right. They're wrong. Yeah. So. That's right. So it's got a lot of applications. I like that. I like these kind of stories. That's why I love Manga Bay. They always cover these types of stories.
All kinds of stuff. And it's great. And Eric's a good guy. So we're happy to talk about his
absolutely
stuff. He's got a podcast too.
I know. It's amazing. I always hear him on the Libsyn, the feed podcast, asking questions and stuff.
I do too. That's a great way to support, it's a great way to like get your stuff out there. I used to call them all the time. So.
Oh yeah. They're fantastic. I actually haven't done that. I need to do that more.
It's good. Like, you're hosting with Libsyn, right?
Absolutely. All my shows.
This is a little bit of how the sausage is made for fish nerds listening. So Libsyn is a podcast hosting service. That's where we run our podcast through, and that gets it to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the places, and they give us our data for how many listeners we have. And they have a podcast called The Feed, which is basically a really nerdy podcast about podcasting for those of us who want to keep track, and we can remember, we have to get our podcast on Alexa or on Google Podcasts or whatever.
Yep.
They help us remember to add those destinations in. So that's what Andrew's talking about. So
Yeah.
I'll probably
love those guys. They give a lot of information.
I'll probably edit this whole section right
now. It's not about fish, I guess. We can't we'll have to talk about podcasts on a different.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how long the podcast gets.
That's true. Well, you know me, when I'm on a podcast, it's gonna be a longer one.
It's the all Andrew Lewin show.
I just talk. I just can't help it.
I'm Andrew Lewin. I do a 10-minute podcast every 2 days. Let's talk for 45 minutes to the fish nerds.
I just like recording. I can't help it. It's what I do.
I do too. All right. Well, that was Fish in the News. And you can find Andrew Lewin on the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. What's your website?
It's speakupforblue.com.
speakupforblue.com, and they can join up with you there and download your show if they want to learn about conservation from a Canadian. You're the guy.
Absolutely. I cover all over the world. I cover news stories all over the world. So not just Canadian. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of Canadian stuff, but not just Canadian. I do a lot of American stuff too, because most of my audience is American.
That's true. Well, most podcast listeners still
most podcast,
are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was Fish in the News.
Thank you.
Fish in the News.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight. That was fun. And again, you can check out Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Now, let's jump in to the Crappie Hippies big time true crime mystery story. Ooh.
The sporting fisher not only respects the resource, but has a big concern for how their activities affect the environment. At Glasswater Angling, we make lead-free fishing tackle to help fishers leave a smaller footprint on the natural world when they ply their craft. Not only do we offer outstanding original designs, like our double underspins, Crappie Dueler, and Angle King, but we help anglers replace their existing lead tackle with products like our bismuth jig heads and hand-tied jester jigs. Whether you are exploring a far country wilderness or casting at the local lake, lead-free is the way to be, and Glasswater Angling is here to help. Glasswater Angling, for a better outdoors. Makers of lead-free fishing tackle. Shop now at glasswaterangling.com. August 25th, 2016, SMU officer found dead in the Trinity River. March 11th, 2017, woman found in Trinity River with multiple gunshot wounds. October 17th, 2019, authorities identify body found in Trinity River behind Fort Worth sex shop. January 17th, 2020, truck pulled from Trinity River with two dead men inside. May 29th, 2020, body found in Trinity River near Legacy Park in Arlington. July 17th, 2020, Dallas police release sketch of man found floating in the Trinity River by three fishermen. The Trinity River originates at the Oklahoma border and runs south through Texas all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. It is home to sand bass, black bass, and crappie, as well as river monsters like 100-pound blue cat and alligator gar that push the 300-pound mark and are over 8 feet long. However, it is also a place of mystery and danger, a place where a relaxing Sunday evening fishing trip can suddenly become something else entirely.
Floating in the Trinity River. You calling the police, bro? Call the police, bro. It's a body floating in the Trinity River.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
How nice you doing? To meet you, man. Nice to meet you, sir. Let's see. Do you want to go by CeeLo? You want to go by Corey? How do you want to do this?
You can go. It's CeeLo the Hooker. It's fine.
CeeLo the Hooker. CeeLo the Hooker. All right.
That's what everybody knows in my song.
Okay, CeeLo great.
You just say CeeLo.
CeeLo was great. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, tonight I'm joined by CeeLo the Hooker, and he has an incredible story to tell. Down in Texas there. I'm just going to let CeeLo get going on this story.
Okay, well, yeah, it was a crazy day, man. I seen a lot of crazy stuff, but today, that day was just mind-blowing. So, okay. So, me and my buddies, we was having a good time. We was out fishing. We was catching guards back-to-back. You know, we was just having the time of our life, which is out there just laughing, party. You know how we, you know, just a regular good old fishing day with your buddies. Then, out of nowhere, like, my friend, he thought he seen a dead horse floating inside the water. And I was looking at it, I'm like, man, I don't think that's a horse, bro. I said, I think that's a human, bro. And as the horse got closer, as the body got closer, we identified that it was a body. And like once we figured out that it was a body, like everybody just went like into shock, like for like a good 10 seconds. We was like, what is going on? And then, like, I don't know what in my head, just something just told me, like, told my boy Big Rich Fish. That's his YouTube name if y'all want to check him out, Big Rich Fish. That's the dude that had throw the pole out and hooked the body. But let me get on to the story. So,
I'm going to come back. I don't want to interrupt you, CeeLo, but I'm going to come back to that because that was one hell of a cast. Okay, so Big Rich Fish, you guys determined you had a human body floating down the Trinity River in front of you.
Yes, sir.
And you were so considerate, so heroic, not wanting that body to get lost. And Big Rich made one heck of a throw.
Yeah, he made one heck of a throw.
Yeah, okay, so let's take it from there. So Big Rich is keeping the body from floating away down the...
Tell him, I don't know, bro. Tell him I'm playing I-20. Tell him it's heading towards the bridge, bro.
I got him.
He got him, bro. Oh my God, bro. Oh my God, bro. Oh my God. Oh my God. Tell him it's on the east, it's the East Fork. Tell him I-20. Tell him in I-20. Just keep him right there, bro.
I am, I'm going in there.
Keeping the body from floating away down the, you said there were some rapids or a falls or something.
Yeah, it's like down the river, it's nothing but rapids. Like right there, it was like the calm spot right before the rapids, you know?
Right.
So if that body would have went any more further, they wouldn't have found that body.
Well,
they wouldn't have found that body. But yeah, Big Rich Fish, man, he was on point with that. Like he grabbed his pole, you know, in the midst of everything. And like with all the adrenaline running, he still made the perfect cast and got him. And it was just like, it was just amazing. It was just amazing to me, man. I just felt so good because I knew that family was gonna get to have a funeral. So,
well,
that was just so amazing to me.
It was shocking. It was compelling. I commend you guys because I see so many people that don't want to get involved. It's been real easy to just turn your head and say, oh, too bad, you know, so sorry. We need more big-hearted people that aren't afraid to step up and take action. And the way you presented it on Instagram by pixelating the body and being considerate that way. Anyway, kudos and hats off to you and Big Rich and everything like that. So follow up. I got to where you got hold of it, and you were even talking about maybe waiting out to get it. Did you do that or not?
Well, once we had the body had got stuck to a tree. So we couldn't really actually reel the body all the way in.
Right.
So once the body got close to the tree, I'm not gonna lie, I attempted to do it. Like just because I was afraid that his line was gonna bust because that was a big guy. He was a pretty big guy.
Was he?
I think he only had like 90 pound braid, like, you know, and he was a pretty big guy. So I was just afraid that the line would snap before the authorities got there or anything. So I attempted to, but the water is just too deep, and like it's gonna be two funerals. Like,
yeah, you know? We don't want two bodies. No,
yeah, we don't need two of them. So I just sat around. I waited on the authorities. When the authorities got there, it was the first.
Oh my God! I smell them, bro. It's so sad, bro. Oh my God.
Down there, and then he said something, and I was like, "Yeah, it does look like it, huh?"
That's the body, bro. You think I should go down there and get him, bro?
Nah.
If he comes closer this way to that stick right there, I think I'm gonna go get him, bro. He deserves a funeral, bro. Oh my God, bro. Oh my God. You called the police? They on their way, bro? All right, y'all, I'm finna put the phone down.
Okay, the other voice you hear in the background is CeeLo's friend Juan. His social media handle is Creek Creeps, and he was on the phone with the authorities getting them to the scene.
When the authorities got there, it was the first responder was a lady. And Lord, it was horrible. She was just falling all down the cliffs. But you know, we be in secluded spots, so you know, like deep inside the woods. So it's like you got to go through obstacles to get to my spots. So,
yeah.
It was crazy. So we waited around. The first responder was a lady. She got there. She just told us to wait it out for the game warrants, and just just thank God that line was so strong. Like it just kept the body right there, man. Cause if that body would have floated down anymore, like it was over. Like,
yeah. Nope. So did they, how did they secure the body? How did they get it?
Well, how they got it out? Well, so they called the game warrants, the local game warrants. The game warrants had, came on a rough boat. And then like they had helicopters. It was helicopters out there. It was like, after that one lady came, like, I promise you, like, 20 or 30 other police officers came right behind her, probably, like, 5 minutes behind her. But they pulled up, the game warrants pulled up on a little Ralph boat. It wasn't a big boat. It was just a small boat. So when they pulled up, they cut the line, and they kind of had, like, a little stick, and they pushed the body up closer to the water. And me and Big Rich Fish, me and my guy, we kind of grabbed the body and pulled it up on the bank for him. The police officers was too scared to come down there because the mud was too deep. And, you know, we was already muddy, and I know exactly, like, the spots where to step on. So it was better to help them than have them fall deep, like, deep inside the mud. So,
wow. Oh, my goodness. So you guys really, really stepped up, you know, in a time where a lot of people are thinking only of themselves and you know, not taking care of their fellow man. I I just had to get hold of you for the show because I think that when people step up and do things out of kindness and fulfill their social contract, fulfill their social responsibility, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, this is a tragedy.
So sad, man. So sad.
I did a little bit of research, and I don't know whether you're going to know, you know, have they followed up? Was it an accident or a crime involvement, or do you know?
Well, when the game warrants arrived, they told me that he was with a buddy, and they got the buddy under investigation for homicide. Either he pushed him in there, or the guy just jumped in there. But they told me it was highly doubted that the guy jumped in there. They say they really think that the other guy pushed him in there. And the current Trinity River is so dangerous, man. It's so deep and dangerous, and it's always moving. It has whirlpools in it. So even if you could swim, the strongest swimmer couldn't even swim in there. It'd just suck you under.
Oh, really? My river fishing experience is very limited, but I do know enough about it to know that you've got to take extreme care. Even a river that just seems like it's barely flowing, there can be quicksand, there can be this, there can be that.
Yes.
And you've got to show a lot of respect, but they're so complex. There are so many different kinds of rivers, and Trinity River, fascinating, fascinating stuff. And tell the listeners, why are you down on the Trinity River, my friend?
Hey man, this is not my smoking fish shirt, but I'm smoking fish CEO, man. I got a team, we got a YouTube channel, we got a show to go. So, you know, we be out there trying to catch some monsters from the fans, man, you know, just trying to make the fans happy and keep everything, then teach everybody the beauty of the fish. Like, exactly. Like I be trying to get people to release the fish, you know, like the big fish that they catch, I try to get them to release it, you know, just to keep the monster population great. You know,
absolutely. I know. I watched some of your videos, and I think you do a great job of handling fish, releasing fish. You show enormous respect for the resource. Now we're talking about now up here in Kansas, we got the long nose and the short nose, but you're after the king daddy of them all. Tell the listeners what you fish for.
Man, you know. I fish for alligator gars. Alligator gars, really all river monsters that lurk in the Trinity River and any river near me, but mostly alligator gars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Alligators, they can grow up to 8 feet long, 300 pounds.
Yeah, and they are an ancient fish. You get one 8 feet, that fish could be like 100 years old or even more.
Yeah, over 150.
Yeah, wow.
They get pretty old when they're that big. I think it takes them they grow like 4 or 5 inches a year.
Okay, so we're going to get back to that. I need to talk to you some more because gar fishing is getting big. The Trinity River flows for 710 miles across the state of Texas. People fish in it, people recreate in it, swim in it, go tubing in it, raft in it. But other areas of the Trinity River are deep, dark, and dangerous. Quicksand, whirlpools, rapids, undercut banks. It's a place where one can be lost and never found again. They say the appeal of fishing is that when you set that hook, you don't know really what's on the other end of the line, especially if you happen to be fishing in the Trinity River. All right, announcer guy, that was great. That was a great... first, let's change this music. Change the music. I've had enough. Hey, y'all, this is Crappie Hippie. I hope you enjoyed that story, but I'm pretty downed out right now, so we're going to go on and talk about something else. I'm going to have CeeLo back. He is a gar fisher. I've been wanting to learn about gar fishing. I know it comes up on the Fish Nerd Facebook group from time to time. So we're going to have this fine gentleman back because he is a dedicated gar fisher. He fishes for the granddaddy alligator gar. He loves the environment. He works to protect the resource. He's as fine an example as a fisher as you can get. And from the looks of his videos, he really, really knows what he's doing. So I hope y'all enjoyed this true crime installment that we did here tonight. But next time we see CeeLo, we're going to be talking some fishing. This has been Crappie Hippie, your tree-hugging redneck from eastern Kansas, saying tight lines and valentines. Be careful out there. Peace out.
So that's it. You've listened to a whole bunch of Fish Nerds when you should have been fishing. Big, fat, huge thanks to the Crappie Hippie for his story on his true crime story. You can go to crappiehippie.com for more information there. Big, giant thanks to Andrew Lewin from the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. Get your podcast anywhere you want. And thanks to Wally Pleasant and Diana's Bath Salts for our music on this week's show. And until next time, follow the code of the fish nerds, spawn early and often, never trust a free lunch with strings attached, and swim against the current every chance you get.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
Just for the halibut.
Fried in a basket or broiled in a pan. Eat it raw like you're in Siam. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.